मृदङ्गाचे वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते 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 वासुदेवाय
गौर प्रेमानंदे हरे हरि गौर श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। सो रिसेंटली वी सेलिब्रेटेड नृसिंह चतुर्दशी एंड वी डिस्कस्ड अबाउट लॉर्ड नृसिंहदेव्स अपीयरेंस एंड द ग्लोरी ऑफ प्रह्लाद महाराज। देयरफॉर आई थॉट दैट फॉर next few days, starting from today, we will discuss about Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. After killing Hiranyakashipu, Nrisimhadev became extremely angry. Or while killing Hiranyakashipu, he was very, very angry. Because the way Hiranyakashipu was torturing Prahlad Maharaj caused a lot of anger in the heart of the Lord. And even after killing Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadev was so angry that even the demigods were not able to approach him. Even Brahma couldn't approach him. Even Lakshmi Devi was afraid of him. I mean, couldn't approach him because he was so angry. At that time, Brahma, understanding the Lord's heart, Lord's attitude towards his devotee, pure devotee, he just encouraged Prahlad Maharaj to go near Nrisimhadev. And when Prahlad Maharaj approached Nrisimhadev, then Nrisimhadev's anger subsided. And instead of anger, his heart became filled with affection. And he placed his hand on Prahlad's head. And as soon as the Lord placed his hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad Maharaj became free from all material contamination, all material attachments. Whatever material influence was there in him, they all disappeared and he became situated in a transcendental situation. So this is the mercy of the Lord. Just by his touch, one becomes free from all material impurities. Otherwise, to become free from material contamination is very, very difficult. We have so many years, so many lifetimes of impurities accumulated in our heart, so many attachments, so many karmic reactions. It's very difficult to become free from material attachments or the influence of material nature. But as soon as one receives the mercy of the Lord, then immediately he becomes free from all those contaminations. And Prahlad Maharaj in this way became completely free from material influences and became perfectly situated on spiritual platform. And the ecstatic symptoms became manifest in his body. Trembling, standing of hair, shedding of tears, all those ecstatic symptoms, ashtashakti vikar, the eight kind of ecstatic symptoms, eight kind of symptoms that one experiences when one develops his love for the Lord. And And Prabhupada warns that it should be, should not be artificially imitated. Because in India there are these sahajiyas, in order to show how great devotees they are, they imitate those activities, sahajiyas. Therefore they are called sahajiyas. They take spiritual life very lightly, very cheaply. And it will happen. When one develops one's love for the Lord, these ecstatic symptoms will become automatically manifest. There is no need to artificially display them. By displaying these ecstatic symptoms, we cannot develop our love for Krishna. Our love for Krishna will, or rather, as the love for Krishna develops, then those ecstatic symptoms will become automatically manifest. As it happened with Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord touched his head with his hands, which is Abhaya Prada. His lotus hands are the giver of all fearlessness. So he had been protecting Prahlad Maharaj all along, but now that he placed his hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad Maharaj's heart became completely purified and the love for the Lord developed automatically, and his body started to display those ecstatic symptoms, and he fixed his mind and his eyes on the lotus face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev. And then he began to offer his prayers with faltering voice. His voice was choked. That's another symptom, ecstatic, another aspect of ecstatic symptom. Gada gada. Badanam gad gada ruddhaya gira. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying. He is talking about when will it happen to me? In Sri Shastakam he is praying. That means when I will develop your devotion, and as a result of that devotion, nayanam galada ashrudharaya. Tears will come streaming down my eyes. Badanam gadgada ruddhaya gira. My voice will be choked. And pulakoi nichitam bopukada. My hair on my body will stand on end. Tavanam grahune bhavishyati. When will this happen? Just by chanting your holy name. So, Prahlad Maharaj, with his faltering voice, he started to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This has been described in the 7th canto, 9th chapter, from verse 8 onwards. So, today we will start off from the 9th chapter of 7th canto, verse 8. Shri Prahlada Uvacha Brahma Dayo Suragana Manayotu Siddhya Saktai Katana Gatayo Bachashang Prabahai Naradhitum Puruganair Adhuna Pipru King Toshtu Marhati Same Harirugrajate. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, how is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness, then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. And in purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, a Vaishnava who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, Jagai madhai hoite muishe papishtho, purisher kit hoite muishe lokishtho. That means that I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and I am more fallen than a worm in the stool. Thus he considers himself unqualified, lower than the worms in the stool, and more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. A pure devotee actually thinks of himself in this way. Similarly, although Prahlad Maharaj was a pure, exalted Vaishnava, he thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Mahajano jena gatah sapantha. Every pure Vaishnava should think like this. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed us, Trinadopi sunichena tarorapi shahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sada hari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is meek and humble, to make progress in spiritual life is very difficult. Prahlad Uvacha, Brahmadaya Suragana Munayotha Siddha Sattaikatana Vatayo Vachasam Pravahai Naradhitum Puraganair Adhunapi Pipru Kim Tushtum Arhati Same Hari Ukra Jatahe. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, how is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. So Prahlad Maharaj is starting to offer his prayers by admitting his inability to do that. Admitting his unqualification. And Prabhupada is pointing out that is the nature of a devotee. Devotee never thinks himself to be great or big or exalted. Rather, a devotee always thinks himself to be very unqualified. And it is not an unnatural thing. It is not an artificial display, rather it is a natural development. In spiritual life, we see that a neophyte devotee thinks that he is the only devotee. The neophyte devotee, definition of a neophyte devotee or the attitude and mentality of a neophyte devotee is that he thinks himself to be the greatest. Madhamadikari devotee learns to discriminate, that he recognizes who is a devotee, who is a non-devotee, who is among non-devotees, who is innocent, who is offensive, and accordingly he treats them. An Uttamadhikari devotee is he who feels that everybody else had become pure devotees, only he couldn't become a devotee. So this is the attitude of devotees, or these are the signs of advancement. A neophyte devotee thinks that he is most advanced, and a pure devotee thinks that he couldn't become a devotee. Now, is it an artificial thing, artificial display? Like, for example, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying that I am more sinful than Jagai, I am more fallen than a worm in the stew. Now, is he just saying some empty words, writing some poetry? No. He is feeling that way. Similarly, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he is displaying his humble disposition that my life has always been engaged in sinful activities. There is not a tinge of piety in it. Or Haridas Thakur and also Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, not going to Jagannath temple, rather from a distance they are offering their prayers to the flags of Jagannath temple. Not to speak of going near Jagannath temple, they were avoiding Jagannath temple because they were afraid that if some brahmana worship the pujari of Jagannath gets in touch with his shadow, even if his shadow touches him, then the pujari will become contaminated. So this is how they are feeling, but who they are, the most exalted personality. Haridas Thakur is so exalted that although he doesn't go to Jagannath temple, Jagannath himself comes to see him every day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day used to come and see Haridas Thakur. So a devotee naturally feels that way. And we can understand it in this way, that the how, why does a devotee, as he makes advancement, feels in this way? Because a jiva is minute. Jivatma is minute and Krishna is absolute. So more the minute gets close to the absolute, he'll become aware of his minuteness more and more. That's why as one approaches Krishna, as one gets closer and closer to Krishna, one feels such humble, natural humble disposition. Whereas when he is away from Krishna, when he is unaware of Krishna, when he is in contact with Maya, then he thinks he is the greatest. Because in relation to Maya, the inferior energy of the Lord, he is superior. Although minute, he feels, I am superior. Because qualitatively he is superior. So in the material nature, the more one makes advancement materially, the more puffed up he becomes, more proud he becomes. And whereas in spiritual life, the more one makes advancement in that direction, the more humble he becomes. So the sign of devotion is in one's humble disposition. A devotee, a real devotee, an advanced devotee will never think, oh, I am such a great devotee. Rather, he will always see the greatness of other devotees. And this is not an artificial flattery. When he sees the greatness of other devotees, he actually feels that way. For example, in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, it has been described when Narad Muni is searching for the greatest devotee. So he sees a brahmana worshipping his Shalagram Shila so nicely on the bank of the Ganges. And Narad Muni thought that he is the greatest devotee. And when he went to him and started to glorify him as the greatest of devotee, the brahmana became very embarrassed. He says, no, I am not the great devotee. I couldn't even become a devotee. The real devotee is that king in South India. And he explained why he is the great devotee. So Narad Muni went to the king. The king said, no, I am not the great devotee. Indra is the great devotee. When he went to Indra, Indra said, no, I am not the greatest devotee. Brahma is the greatest devotee. When he went to Brahma, Brahma said, no, I'm not the greatest devotee. Shiva is the greatest devotee. So you can see that a devotee never wants to consider himself to be the greatest. He always finds somebody who is in a superior situation. And he is not hesitant to declare that. That's another thing. When one becomes situated on the spiritual platform, he won't have any difficulty in glorifying others' qualities and greatness. Whereas when one is situated materially, he will find it difficult because of his envy. Because of our envy, we don't like to, we cannot properly glorify other devotees. Because envy means we have a tendency to establish ourselves as the greatest. I am the greatest devotee. Even as a devotee, I am the greatest. But that is actually a very neophyte understanding, very neophyte attitude. The real advanced attitude is Trinadopi Sunichena Tarurupi Shahishana. One should become more humble than a blade of grass. And one should become tolerant as a tree. And in this way, when he is able to offer all respects to others, desiring no respect for himself, he'll be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, all the time. So that means we'll be able to practice the process of Krishna consciousness properly only when our hearts become completely purified from all the impurities. So these impurities are actually causing lust, greed, anger, etc. But when the heart is nirmatsarana, when the heart is purified and becomes completely non-envious, then only we can cultivate pure devotional service. Then only we can glorify the Lord and we can glorify His devotees. Otherwise, it is not possible. Spiritual life is not an artificial thing. It is a real thing. Therefore, the sign of our advancement will become properly manifest as we make advancement. And also another thing that a devotee always considers is that he is not interested about how the rest of the world sees him. He simply is concerned about how the Lord is seeing him. That is the mentality of a devotee. Therefore, he himself is not interested in having any name and fame in this material nature. Rather, he thinks, what's the use if the whole world glorifies me but Krishna doesn't recognize me? If Krishna doesn't recognize me, then everything is finished. Everything is meaningless. But if Krishna recognizes me and the whole world spits at me, who cares about that spitting? So that is the attitude of a pure devotee. How Krishna is seeing. If Krishna sees us, looks at us favorably, then our life is perfect. Life becomes perfect. But if Krishna doesn't look at us favorably, then everything is lost. And how does Krishna want to see us? Does Krishna want to see us that as an arrogant fool or a submissive devotee? Krishna wants to see us as His servants. And then when He sees that we are developing the qualities that are befitting His servant, then Krishna becomes pleased. We are not the Lord and Master. We are the insignificant subordinate. We are servants. Krishna is the Lord and Master. So we should never try to usurp Krishna's position. We should never try to become the Lord and Master. And the cause of our material bondage is that, that we are trying to lord over. We want to lord over. Therefore, Krishna is giving us a chance. Okay, lord over. Go ahead. Lord over and see what happens. But what actually happens? The more we try to lord it over, the more we become punished. The more we try to enjoy, the more we suffer. But when we surrender ourselves to Krishna, then no more suffering. Sadhya, surrendering to Krishna is the most intelligent thing to do. Jajantihi sumedhasaha. Who will worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Those who are sumedhasaha, those who are very, very intelligent. So intelligent ones will serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become His devotees. And when one does that, then what happens? All sufferings immediately disappear. No more suffering. Surrender to Krishna, free from suffering condition. And then not only the suffering condition will disappear, but our hearts will become filled with joy. So that is the reward of Krishna consciousness. When you become devotees of Krishna, when you serve Krishna, our life will become full of joy. And there won't be any suffering whatsoever. No more suffering. That one may question, but does it mean, but we see that the devotees are also suffering from disease or other things, other difficulties. Apparently, yes. But a devotee who doesn't identify himself with the body, these body's affairs do not affect him. Body will go through different influences. Bodies will be affected by different influences of material nature. But because a devotee is not identifying himself with the body, or by developing devotion to the Lord, one automatically becomes detached from the body. Therefore, the affairs of the body do not affect him. Another way to look at it is that the difficulties that one may go through, apparently, we have to understand that the karmic reactions have already been reduced considerably, and with a very little touch, their karmic reactions are wiped out. Like, for example, a devotee gets a scratch in his hand, a little cut in his hand. But actually, what was supposed to happen? His whole hand should have been chopped off. The karmic reaction was to come out in the sense, in a way, that his whole hand would have been chopped off. But because he became a devotee, just a little cut. And that karma is now squared out. In this way, devotees, by surrendering themselves at the lotus feet of Krishna, become free from all karmic reactions. For a devotee, there is no karmic reaction. Devotee means pure devotee, who is completely surrendered. To the degree one is surrendered, to that degree he will become free from karmic reaction. And a devotee sees everything in a positive light. Because he doesn't think that he is a devotee, therefore when difficulties come, he just accepts it. Because I am not a devotee, it's happening to me. He is not thinking, oh, I am a devotee, why is it happening to me? It's the other way around. Rather, when something happens to him, he feels that because I couldn't become a devotee, that's why these things are happening to me. If I became a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna would have freed me from all these karmic reactions. So in this way, a devotee is always situated in a very, very wonderful situation. And he is not affected by the law of karmic law of material, law of karma anymore, the law of this material nature anymore. He is simply situated in a transcendental situation, transcendental position. Like he wants to render service to Krishna, and Krishna says, okay, come to Vrindavan and render service unto me. Wherever Krishna is, that is the spiritual sky. In this way, devotee becomes free from all material entanglements. And that's what Prabhupada is pointing out through this prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he received such mercy from the Lord. Already became free from all material contaminations. His heart is filled with the love for the Lord. And he is offering this prayer. That how can I, a son of a demon, ever glorify you? All these exalted personalities, these demigods and other saintly personalities who are situated in the mode of goodness, they offer prayers to you, but you didn't become pacified. So how I will accomplish that mission when such exalted personalities failed? So he is not thinking that, oh, I am the greatest devotee, therefore I have to go now and pacify Nrisimhadeva. No, he is not thinking that. Rather, he is thinking that all these personalities failed, those who are so exalted, and who am I to even try? But that expression of his heart's feelings are now becoming his prayers. Actually, what is prayers? Prayers is the expression of the heart's genuine feelings. The way the heart is feeling towards the Lord, that is being expressed. Prayers are not just some writing by the rhyming dictionary and look at the dictionary and rhyme the words and write a poetry. There is a dictionary called rhyming dictionary. Like rhyme, poetry generally ends in the rhyming words. But prayers to the Lord is not like such arrangements. It's heart's natural expression of love and gratitude towards the Lord. So a devotee offers his heartfelt prayers to the Lord and the Lord responds. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Yes,
actually. Raj, what definition of humility we could give to avoid sometimes some misconception? For example, for simple things, sometimes during Guru Puja, everyone is waiting for the other one to go to offer flowers, and all Guru Puja, Prabhupada doesn't receive any flowers, just waiting.
Well, no, I couldn't get that. What's that?
What definition of humility we could give to avoid some misconception of what is humility. And I was saying, for example, simple example, like during Guru Puja sometimes, everyone is waiting for the other one to offer flowers to Prabhupada. And finally, we come to the end of the song, and nobody wants to offer the flowers. And acting like, I should not go first, you should go being humble, like. But
that is not being humble, that is being callous. When it comes to offer flowers to Prabhupada, you should just run and be the first one to do that. That is humility. Offer glorification to Srila Prabhupada. Why should you be embarrassed to do that? Are you embarrassed to offer flowers to Srila Prabhupada? That's false humility. That's not actually humility. Yes, if senior devotees are there, let them do that, offer it. But then when the opportunity comes, you should just run for that opportunity. Okay.
I just want to understand the definition. I understood from you the how to be humble and how these great devotees are humble. But if this genuine feeling doesn't come in my heart, how should I behave? How should I imbibe that mood genuinely?
Okay, be natural. There is no need to be artificial. You are not humble. You are puffed up. So recognize that you are puffed up and pray to Krishna. And by cultivating devotional service, it will happen. You try to remind yourself, who are you? Are you a very big person?
I am not, but I sometimes think, you know.
That's what I am meaning. What's your size? How big are you?
Very small.
So where is the possibility of becoming big? So, but coming, because of our contact in with Maya, we think that we are big. We are big.
Yes.
I'm greater than this. 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 By naturally, they're inert, I'm conscious. And then it kind of extends, I'm greater than you.
Yeah.
Because who are you?
So
that feeling developed because our consciousness was projected to Maya, inferior material energy. Therefore, it is important that you shift our consciousness to Krishna. But when our consciousness is shifted to Krishna, then who do we see? Do we see Him as inferior to us? Do we see Krishna as inferior? Superior. The more you get to know about Krishna, more you become awestruck at how great Krishna is. So that is how one naturally develops his humble disposition. Okay, yes.
And knowledge and intelligence, it comes from Krishna. So when the person becomes envy, isn't that like that also, Krishna provides him that kind of information where he becomes envy?
Well, that knowledge doesn't come from Krishna. That knowledge is coming from your false ego. Knowledge is coming from Krishna is like something like all the light is coming from the sun. But how you are seeing it, now the light is coming from the sun and the absence of light is causing the shadow. Therefore it can be said that the shadow is caused by the sun. But is it caused by the sun or is it due to the absence of the sun that's causing the shadow? So similarly, this pride and envy and all these negative qualities, you know, can be seen as absence of Krishna consciousness. And so, this knowledge, in that sense, like your knowledge of exploitation, your knowledge of, or your intelligence of controlling the nature and things, they are not coming from Krishna. As a source of consciousness, yes, you can say that they are related to Krishna. But it is not a direct relationship, it's an indirect relationship. The immediate cause of that is your false ego. It's due to a false ego we are actually materially motivated. It is due to a forgetfulness of Krishna that we are materially motivated. But real Krishna, but if we become conscious of Krishna in a real sense, then Yes, then there will be knowledge. Gyanam cha jad ahaitukam. That is transcendental knowledge. An example can be given. The sun is at the back. You are standing here. What are you seeing? You see your shadow. Now it can be said that actually it is the lack of the sun coming there. But it can be seen the shadow is caused by the sun. Don't you say that? Sun is casting the shadow. The sun is not casting the shadow. It's the absence of the sunlight that's causing this shadow. Now when you turn your face and look towards the sun, will you see the shadow? Will there be any darkness? Will there be any ignorance?
Bhagavad Gita 4.14, Lord Krishna says that there is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruits of reactions of work. How do we understand this in our daily life where it feels that we are entangled?
Again, as I said, okay, read it again, I get the question.
So, she quoted that verse. Should I read that verse again?
Yeah.
There is no work that affects me.
Na karmani limpanti, na cha karma phalesh priham.
Right.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do we understand this in our daily life in which we feel that we are entangled?
But Krishna is not talking about you. Krishna is talking about himself. That I am not namam karmani limpanti. I do not affected. I am not entangled by anything, and nor do I have any desire for the results of action. And when one gets to know me in that way, becomes free from karmic reactions. Right. So our entanglement in the material nature means our absence of understanding Krishna. Krishna's supreme position. If you recognize Krishna's supreme position, then there won't be any.
And one more question from Sita. I wish to always act, surrender to Krishna and do the instructions that I receive. How can I do so?
Keep on acting on the instructions of Krishna through his representative, through the instructions of Krishna's representatives. So become involved in rendering devotional service, then it will happen. You see, many, many lifetimes of bad habits of trying to be independent is not going to go away overnight. It will need practice. And the practice means act according to Krishna's instruction, act according to Krishna's devotees' instructions. Those who are representing Krishna, it will happen. Like, for example, Krishna is saying, surrender unto me. So surrender unto Krishna. When you surrender unto Krishna, then the tendency to lord over, tendency to become materially motivated, tendency to exploit this material nature will gradually disappear. And be patient. Be patient. If it doesn't happen overnight, don't give up. Maintain your peace.
You know, when the Lord places Lotus hand on Prahlad Maharaj, immediately all his material, whatever contamination he had, disappeared. So, because the Lord touched him, in our sense, you know, we are also touching the Lord through his holy name. I mean, I'm also doing that. So, why does it take that long to remove all this material?
Is holy name just the syllables of the Maha Mantra? Or holy name is Krishna?
Holy name is Krishna.
So, is the holy name. When does the holy name become Krishna? When one is chanting purely. That is the time. So we have to understand that what we are chanting, but it's not pure chanting. That's why Krishna is not becoming manifest. It's the Naam Aparad or Naam Abhash at the most. We are not chanting the holy name, we are chanting Naam Aparad. When you are chanting offensively, what we are chanting? We are chanting offenses. So that's why we have to practice again, you know. Again, we have to continue to practice so that we can become free from the offenses. And then the pure name will become manifest. And when the pure name becomes manifest, then again, prema will automatically manifest. Because Shuddha Naam will give Krishna prema. You chant one pure name of the Lord, prema will be there. Love for Krishna will be there. And as the, like when the Lord touched Prahlad Maharaj, what did he receive? What did he gain? What did he get? He got Krishna prema. So, whether it is received by the touch of the Lord's hand or by pure chanting of the holy name, is the same. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying that in spite of chanting the holy name, if tears are not coming in our eyes and we are not really feeling that, we have to understand that in the chanting there must be lots of offenses. Let's face the reality. This is it. Why should we pretend? Rather, let us become real. I'm chanting, but I'm not getting the desired result because of my offenses. So now let me become serious and try to chant the pure name of the Lord. Another way to look at it is that devotee is not really concerned about ecstatic symptoms and all. He is simply concerned about service. There is service, let me just keep on serving. And Prabhupada asked us to chant, so in chanting. And someday, through service, I'll be able to chant the pure name. Chanting pure name is not again an artificial cultivation. Chanting pure name also is a natural development of our purity. Sevan mukhe hi jiv bhado. Sevan mukhe. Seva. Through seva, jiv bhado swayam eva spuratada. The holy name will automatically become manifest on the tongue through the service attitude. So through service attitude, internally will become purified and the mercy of the Holy Name will become manifest. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Go. So, Lochan Prabhu, how are you?
Wonderful.